Week thinking about what did Jesus really mean in John 10:10 when he said, I've come to offer you life in all its fullness. We're going to read parts of John 10 again in a moment. So have your Bibles open or your devices turned on ready to follow in that. So what did Jesus actually mean when he said, I've come to offer you life and life in all its fullness? And one of the things we discovered last week that helps us to answer that question is this quote from a Spurgeon's College lecturer, Joshua Searle. He says this, Jesus calls us to the depth and riches of life in all its fullness. He summons us away from existing on the surface of superficial things and into deep living. Jesus calls us to life attuned to the deep rhythms of grace that cherish life itself as a precious gift of God. So life as a precious gift of God, not living on the surface, not just making do. And this is about us understanding that that's what Jesus is enabling us to do, to live fully, to live in life in all its fullness, and not just to cope, not just to make do. We know there are periods of times in our lives where we will go through things like that, where we are kind of just going, ticking boxes maybe, going through the motions. Things are difficult, but that doesn't change God at all, does it? That doesn't change what God is offering us here, life in all its fullness. And last week we also thought about this point. How we need to get beyond a view of life that, in all its fullness, that is just about meeting together on a Sunday morning and pretending like we've got life all sorted out as we drink coffee, sing songs, listen to the sermon, then somehow walk out the door back into our making do little lives. Getting beyond that, going deeper into life in relationship with God, in relationship with each other, in relationship as his church with the world. So this is where I want some feedback from you. So how did your week go? How for you have you been enabled this week, influenced for good or for bad, to be able to live life in all its fullness? What, tell me, just call out some of the things you were talking about. What things have gone well? What things have challenged you to be able to live life in all its fullness in the way that we were thinking about last week, in the way that we're touching on in John 10 again this morning? Say again. Harry and Meghan. Okay, now is that a good thing or a challenge? Okay, so shame for the Queen and country, yeah, okay. Anything else that's happened this week that's enabled you to go, yay? The sun came out, yeah. I know, I'm with you completely. So when I'm sat at my desk at home, my desk is right in front of the window, so I've got plenty of light, and that's been a challenge this week. But when the sun comes out, it's glorious. So yeah, no, that's good, thank you. Yeah, Morgan now can drive in the UK officially, properly, without having to have a chaperone. So life in all its fullness in the UK has never been so great, has it? Yeah, just for that moment anyway. And she was quite a show-off with her test as well. She actually got no errors, nothing. Got it just perfect. So, yeah. Okay, so families coming home, being closer and being reunited. Yeah, okay. I'm sure if we carried on. Oh, sorry, go on, Jim.
Well, you asked us this question on Monday when you were at worship group.
Yeah.
And Mondays, I have only have three lessons, but each of those lessons, I can name a boy who drains me in more ways than one. And that's what I shared. You know, Tuesday morning, I have my boys' choir, challenging boys in there. That's why they like singing. And they have a mentor from something that they're doing at the moment. And they were just brilliant. And I was very proud of them.
Good.
Good,
great. Thank you, Jean. Yeah, because how you shared it on Monday evening, you weren't really lifted at that moment, were you? No. And we had a conversation about our own reactions and how we're human beings. You know, whether we're the adult and they're the child, whatever, we're human beings. And we carry our own emotions. We carry our own stresses and strains. When I heard on Friday morning, Rose prayed for the family of Harry Bennett. Harry was in Hannah's tutor group at high school, so 16, 17. And he passed away overnight, Thursday night into Friday morning. He'd had leukemia, got sepsis, and died very suddenly. And that's a challenge. I spent a lot of time in high school on Friday morning trying to help kids get their head around it and that inevitable why question. Life in all its fullness, in that moment, what do you say? How do you cope? We're human beings. We carry our own emotions. We carry our own responses. So many different things influence us, don't they? So many different voices speak into our lives, maybe sometimes all at the same time. And we're like, well, okay, hang on a minute. I just wait there. I just need to finish with this conversation. So many things coming at us all the time. And how do we balance that? How do we cope with that? So many different influences. Maybe they come from our parents, our siblings, our children, our friends, our employer, colleagues at work, whoever, you know, we can keep adding to that list. Maybe we're influenced by culture around us that tells us, no, this is how your life needs to look, or this is what you need to have, or the media portrayal of certain events in the world, or social media grabbing our attention all the time. So many different influences and challenges and voices to listen to and process and respond to. So as I read from John chapter 10, the bits the six verses that we're looking at today, try to notice in this passage the different influences that are there, the different voices that are there. And as I read, remember that this is the start of the section in John's Gospel, John chapter 10, that we looked at the whole section of last week, where it comes to the part where Jesus says, I have come to give you life and life in all its fullness. I'm just going to read the first six verses. So listen out for the influences, the different voices that are here, and the different responses that can be made. So Jesus says, I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own sheep, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Let's pray together. Lord, help us not to be like that last verse. Not understanding, not getting it. But Lord, help us to unpack this together this morning and to hear your voice. And to know your will for our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. So straight away in these few verses, Jesus is referring to different influences. There's the thief and the robber versus the shepherd. We're going to unpack that and look at that. Two opposing voices, two different sets of influences that can have such a dramatic effect. And that builds then into the middle section that I read, the middle couple of verses, where there's reference to a watchman. What's that all about? The watchman who lets in the shepherd who needs to be allowed in and nobody else. What's that all about? Let's look at that. And then that builds again. This whole bit keeps building as we go along. And when we come to the ones who are responding to the voices that they're hearing. And we'll pick up again at the end about that not getting it part. So let's look, first of all, let's think about this. First couple of verses. We need to look out for the deceiver. This is what Jesus is pointing us towards. It isn't until we get to verse 6 that we find out that the people that Jesus was speaking to didn't understand. We have the benefit of having been able to look at the whole section last week. We can look in our Bibles at what's gone before and what comes after. We have a huge benefit there. It's perhaps easier for us to understand and get to grips with what Jesus is saying here. Now, Jesus is speaking into the world of the Pharisees. We touched on that again last week. They were the ones teaching in the synagogues. They were the ones who were directing people's lives. They were the dominant voice of the day, if you like. But actually, a lot of the time, what they were doing was stifling life in all its fullness through their demanding and rigid and legalistic ways. They seemed to those listening to be offering life. But it was way, way far from life in all its fullness, the way that Jesus was offering. They're literally stealing life away from people, robbing people of that fullness, the truth of what it means to live fully in Christ. These Pharisees, They were supposedly wise leaders. They were meant to be the ones who could be followed and trusted and relied on. Like the ones that Jesus talks about here as going into the sheep pen by the conventional method of walking through the door, through the gate. The ones who are trusted and respected and allowed to be there. But instead, Jesus describes them in these first couple of verses as like thieves and robbers, because they're not coming in the conventional route. They're trying to fly under the radar and climb in over the back wall unnoticed and kind of get their way into a place where they can have a different kind of influence. What's going to happen next? What's going to happen when people who are intent on deceiving us get to us first? What's going to happen? Well, it seems to me that actually we're going to listen to them, aren't we? Perhaps we won't notice straight away that we're being deceived or led in unhelpful ways or things being spoken into our lives that aren't actually God's best for us. Perhaps we're not going to notice that. Perhaps the voice is going to sound convincing. We'll not be able to tell the difference between that deceiving voice and actually a voice of truth and well-being and wholesomeness. When that happens, I want to say, how dare you? How dare you do that? It's just not on, is it? How dare anyone come into our places of safety, into our lives, that Jesus is illustrating here by the sheep pen, and deceive us into ways of life that are just not where we need to be? How dare you do that? But then look at verse 2. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. Just notice that. They've come in the right way. They've come in through the gate, noticed, visible. They haven't come over the back wall. They haven't tried to be deceptive. They've just come and presented themselves in the right way, in the right place. It's no longer about a thief and a robber, but it's about a shepherd. That's hugely important that we don't miss that right here, because otherwise when we get to verse 6, we'll still be like the ones that are mentioned in that verse is not understanding. It's hugely important that we understand that, and to do that we can refer back in our Bibles to times and places where God's focus on the shepherd to care and bless and nurture is mentioned. So Psalm 80 verse 1, Psalm 23 verse 1 refer to God himself as the shepherd of Israel. In Ezekiel 34 we have the promise of the true shepherd, the Messiah, who will come to care for his sheep. This isn't a new thing that's just suddenly arrived in Scripture. This has been a building all the way through the Old Testament. It is coming out here in all its fullness. The true shepherd will care for the sheep, not manipulate or deceive, but the true shepherd will care. That's whose voice we need to hear, isn't it? That's the one who will influence us for good, not for their own benefit, but for ours. We need to recognize those who are intent on coming at us from a different direction, those who are coming at us unhelpfully, perhaps for their own gain, for their own influence. And instead, we need to learn to notice and hear and listen to and respond to the right shepherd. That's what Jesus is pointing to in these illustrations. Follow the right shepherd. We need to understand next the reference then in verse 3 to the watchman before we join a shepherd and walk through the gate together. You know, it's the reckon that the sheep in the pen referred to in verse 1 would probably have been part of a much larger sheepfold. And within that larger sheepfold, there would have been different groups of sheep, different pens maybe. Some of them might have been separate and individual. Maybe some were, different shepherds, different groups of sheep belonging to different shepherds, all collectively in that one space. It would have been crowded. It would have been hectic. You know, that image is actually a bit more like a sheep market than what is going on here. But I just wanted to illustrate and get that picture in your mind about how crowded and how hectic this place would have been. It's not going to be like nice, quiet little sheep over here and nice, quiet little sheep over there and everything's lovely. It would have been busy. It would have been bustling. And the imagery that Jesus was using cuts down what the Pharisees were teaching. The watchman's job was to guard the main gate for that larger sheepfold, so that only a shepherd whose sheep were in there, that he was responsible for, could get in and get out. And so the imagery is, like I say, cutting down what the Pharisees were teaching, but instead setting up a scene of safety and security for the benefit of those who need protecting, who need caring for, who need to be guided and nurtured in right ways. Now listen, none of us can take ourselves out of that need. We all need to be cared for. We all need to be nurtured and guided and listened to and loved and all of those things. When the recognized shepherd came to the watchman, he would let them in. He knew they could be trusted. And then what happens next is just incredible. Just remember that busy, bustling, noisy place. The sheep would recognize the voice of their shepherd and only follow him. If another shepherd comes in, then the sheep who don't belong to him would ignore him, run away, do whatever. I was trying to think of an example to illustrate that point, and I could came up with Little Wonders as the best example I could think of in that moment. A busy, bustling place, noisy, hectic, things going on. But the mother whose ear is tuned into their child, when that child cries, will know it's their child most of the time. Do you notice I said mother, not father? You know, some of us could achieve that when our children were young, but not all. And they'll do something, won't they? They'll hear that voice, they'll hear that noise, and they will act. They will do something. They won't ignore it. So maybe that's a little bit of a helpful example. The sheep know the shepherd's voice, and they will only follow that one shepherd. And then look at verse 4. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. These are important details again. The shepherd is going in front, and the sheep are following. There's no frantic shepherd on a quad bike chasing around in a field trying to get the sheep into the right spot. None of that. There's no sheepdog responding to random whistles and random words and calls from a shepherd to get himself to engineer these sheep into the right spot. There's none of that. None of that at all. The shepherd steps out in front to lead the way. And the sheep follow. Now don't get clever with me at this point, because you're going to say, oh yeah, but what about that story Jesus told about the 99 sheep and the one that went off the other way? I get that. Okay, on the whole, the shepherd went out in front, and the sheep followed, listening to his voice, carried on following. They didn't need any coercion. They didn't need a nudge. They didn't need a whack with a stick from the behind or whatever. They simply follow. That's because they know that their shepherd will only ever lead them to places that are good for them to be, places of pasture to be nourished and fed, places that are fertile. The shepherd constantly go on ahead to check that the way is clear, to check that the way is safe. And the sheep know this. They've learned. It's learned experience. They're following, and they know that they can do that. And then just at the right time, what does the shepherd do? He turns around and he brings them back into the safety of the sheep pen for protection overnight, doesn't he? That's incredible. So just tell me this then. Who or what? Or what are you following right now, and why are you doing that? Is it like these shepherds, where the voice, the influence, the person you're following, you know you can completely trust, and they're leading you in paths of righteousness to quote another part of the Bible? Or is it something else? Have we followed a different way, and now we're not sure what on earth to do next? What's going to happen next? How we'll get back to that safe place we once knew? Or what's going to protect you when things get harder? But where are we at with all of this? You know, we can only follow with confidence when we know that we're listening to the right voice. We need to listen to the right voice. You know, these the words in verse 5, when I was reading them through, preparing for today, they really intrigued me. And, you know, a new voice actually can get our attention, can't it? Verse 5 suggests that when the voice of a stranger comes along, the sheep are just going to ignore it completely, and they're not going to pay any attention to it. But I want to suggest, actually, that when we're hearing a new voice, when we're hearing something, maybe it's something we know already, it's presented in a different way, it might not be radically different to what we've been told before, but maybe it's just there's something there that is intriguing us and we're listening and we're trying to think, well, okay, that's maybe something I could get into. And then before we know it, what we're listening to, it isn't helpful. We started maybe to follow this new voice and it's not good. Well, that's okay if actually the new voice is leading our lives in a good way, but what if it isn't? And when we finally realize that that's happened, we just get so in so much trouble. That offer of money and new things that suddenly pulls a young person into the drug scene or a gang that they can't escape from. That person who tells someone that no one loves them like they do. And before they know what's going on, they've been groomed or trafficked. What about that kind of like hyped up career aspirations, or the media portrayal I've already mentioned of how we're meant to look, or the things that we're meant to have to enjoy life in all its fullness? Those are different voices we hear, aren't they? Those are different influences that we have. What do we do with them? Well, look at verse 5 again. Jesus says that the sheep, the vulnerable and needy, those who need to be cared for and nurtured in all the right ways, that's us, they know the right voice. And so they will never follow the stranger's voice. That's what Jesus is leading to by saying this is how it is to live life in all its fullness. Don't be deceived. Follow the right shepherd. Listen to the right voice. But just wait a minute, because we've still got this problem of verse 6, haven't we? This awkward verse 6 that's just kind of lingering there in the middle and getting in the way of all the good stuff that's going on here. Those who are listening to Jesus didn't get it at all. They're confused. They're a bit bewildered. They all this talk about gates and watchmen and shepherds and listening and strangers and voice. What is this all about? They just didn't get it. Excuse me, but their problem is they are so self-assured that they can't get past that. So self-assured that they've got on how to follow and listen. The Pharisees knew the right way to go. And so even when Jesus backed up what he was saying by grounding it in the Old Testament, but grounding it in the teachings of God that have gone before, the promises of covenant commitment, the promises of unending relationship, even when Jesus grounded what he was saying in those things, they still couldn't hear it right. They still couldn't get it. They had a very little chance of being transformed into life in all its fullness that Jesus was showing them. Where verse 5 intrigues me, do you know verse 6 just frustrates me so much? No one needs to be in a place where they're left so far removed from all life in all its fullness that even when they see it right in front of them, they can't hear it, they can't understand it, they don't notice it, and they miss it. No one needs to be in that place. Okay, maybe we could be a little bit more gentle here. There was a whole lot more that Jesus hadn't taught yet. Beyond John chapter 10, verse 6, there's a whole lot more to come. That's what we're going to carry on looking at during the teaching series. It's a whole lot more that they hadn't learned. So perhaps, you know, we're being a bit harsh picking on this verse 6, but it just bothers me so much that we leave people in a place where they don't understand. They don't understand the depth of the Father heart of God for them. God who gives his best. He's given his best to us, the true shepherd, his son, Jesus, our Messiah. I want to ask, the thing is, when will we stop making excuses? When will we stop making excuses for ourselves and other people and say, oh, well, I don't get it because. No, don't do that. Don't put something in the way of seeing Jesus in all his fullness and the fullness of life that he offers us. If we go back to the beginning of John's gospel, carefully look again at how John unpacks Old Testament prophecies about the promised Messiah, explain how that was all fulfilled in Jesus, tells us about the miracles and the people whose lives were transformed simply by going to be close to Jesus. If we keep going deeper and notice all the I am sayings that Jesus describes himself through, John's highlighted a couple of those already. We'll see Jesus as the bread of life, that's in John 6, and Jesus, light of the world, that's in John 8. And if we keep following and if we keep listening and get beyond the here and now through more of what John is saying, That's when we'll find those I am sayings, those declarations of Jesus, things that turn us around and connect with us and transform us as we see the true shepherd. You know, don't keep throwing up excuses to miss that. Don't keep throwing up excuses that take you to a place like where the Pharisees were. And it's unhelpful and it's not the place where we need to be. And so we move further away from truth and understanding. There will be times when we need to scream out in total bewilderment to God that we just don't understand what's going on. That's fine. There will be times when that will happen in our lives. And we need to just deal with that and let that happen. But whatever's fueled that, whatever is fueling that scream that we just can't get our heads around what's going on right now. Listen, it never changes God. It never changes the character, the nature of God. It never changes God's compassion and his grace. Life in all its fullness comes through following God's ways, not our own. If you're relating well at the moment to John 10 verse 6, then don't give up here. Don't turn away at this point. Don't be deceived by anything or anyone who tries to tell you that there is no God or that God can't love you because of this thing that's going on in your life. That's rubbish. Whatever is going on for you might be so awful, but it doesn't change God. It doesn't mean that God hates you. It doesn't mean that God's abandoned you. God's promise is, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll never give up on you. Keep following. Keep following as we journey through this teaching series together, because we're right at the beginning of it all. We're touching on major things already, but we're right at the beginning of it all. We're just starting to open up our fuller understanding of what Jesus means when he says, I've come to give you life in all its fullness. We have the opportunity to connect with this and respond to it and be transformed by it. And then once, you know, letting that happen to ourselves so that then God can use us to enable that to happen to other people around us. This isn't just for us, it's for all people in all places. Keep listening and know that you're hearing God's voice. God who wants to transform us into life in all its fullness. That can happen in no other way except through Jesus. You know, we don't have to wait until Easter, which is just around the corner, to see that on full display, do we? In Jesus on the cross and in resurrection glory. It's already here. Jesus shows us that he is the shepherd whose voice we need to listen to and that we need to trust and that we need to follow. Hold these things as we spend some time praying together. And could I just ask if you're part of our prayer ministry team this morning and you feel able, the chairs for the prayer corner are set up. Maybe there's some people here who want to go straight away and receive some prayer ministry. If there's two or three of our prayer team there, that would be helpful. It would be an encouragement for people to move. And if that's you, if you need to move now, if you need to just sit and talk and pray to somebody, just move over to that space. Somebody will be there with you and help you there. But let's pray together. Lord, I want to ask first of all that you'll show us that this isn't just a whole load of nice words to fill some empty space on a Sunday morning. But Lord, this is how you're leading us towards life in all its fullness. Father God, there may be so many things in our way right now, but you know that. You know that. So many things that we want to say, oh yeah, but I can't because, and or what about this? I don't get that. Lord, you know that. You know everything. Nothing we ever need will take you by surprise. You have a plan ready to unfold for us to experience your fullness, Lord. We thank you for that. Lord, help us with all those things that influence us, all those voices that are so hard to ignore, but we can so easily end up following because we find them attractive to start, but then we discover that they're stealing life away from us. Lord, instead, enable us to hear only you, clearly speaking, truth into our lives. You do that through your word. We do that through each other. We do that through circumstances, Lord. But, Lord, help us to follow you. And then, Father God, the way to you or the way back to you. It just might feel so unattainable to us right now, but take that lie and that deception away from us. Lord, it might be so painful as we grapple with the things that we need to so that we can willingly follow you. But Lord, you know, just remind us, let us look at the communion table again. It will never cost us as much to follow you as it is, as it's been for you to enable that to happen through Jesus. Lord, there are many situations and people that we can be thinking of right now that we're just desperate to know what to say to them and to help them in their situation. Lord, the Bennett family of Harry who died and his mum Yvette, his dad Andy's sister Charlotte and their wider family. Lord, be with them in their pain. Enable them to have people speaking into their lives just at the moment who will really be able to help. Father, I want to pray for all of Harry's friends at South Bromsgrove High School again and Charlotte's friends and the whole school community, the teaching staff as well, who were so rocked by this. Lord, enable them to know that you are there, even in those moments where they can't make sense of anything. Father, help us always to think about the direction that we're journeying in, where we're going, what we're doing, what's going on. Lord, heal us from past hurts and renew us in our current situations. So, Father, we'll only ever be following you as our true shepherd, who leads us into places that are good for us, places of blessing, places of abundance. Yes, Lord, we know that the journey might be bumpy along the way, but Father, keep our eyes fixed on you and our hearts and our minds totally trusting in you. This prayer is not just for us, Lord, but it's for those we care for, those around us, those nearby, those further away. It's for governments around the world. It's for countries around the world, people who are in pain and distress for all kinds of reasons. Lord, I pray that we will not be left like these people in verse 6 who didn't understand what they were hearing, and that we won't leave anyone like that either. We'll do all that we can, Father, to discover life in all its fullness for us and to lead other people in that way. In Jesus' name, amen.